Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Indeed, it's time to study God's Word, and that's exactly what we are about to do. We are in the Voice of Prophecy. Faith for Today is the series we are currently going through, and we are in lesson number 20, Is God Particular? And today we want to understand God's preference. You see, God understands. I don't know if you've heard that statement, right? God understands. It's a phrase that people often use to mask their doing of things that they want to do, things that please them, things that they know clearly are going against God's will. So then they want to do these things anyway. And so they cushion it with the phrase, oh, come on, Bazarani, but God understands. but does he, though? Does he? Does he understand in the implied sense, right, that we can sin with impunity because he understands our infirmities? That is a question that this lesson seeks to address. And Brother Blake Nxumalo will be taking us through this very conversation. Babu Nxumalo, thank you so much for joining us, and good morning to you. Mr. Blake, how are you?
Okay.
There we go. There we go. Much, much better.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's wrong with my phone today. Yeah, even WhatsApp. I was hoping to answer you from the PC.
Yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately,
we were not getting you there.
It took away all the settings that I needed.
Not to worry. Good thing is we have you on now. Thank you so much for joining us and discussing this very important subject. Is God particular? Let's take that and take it from there. Apparently, our souls have diseases, says the lesson. Talk to us a bit about that.
All right. So the first question before we get there that we need to answer is God particular? And the clear answer to that is yes,
okay.
He's particular.
Okay.
We don't have to say anything else. We can might as well close in prayer because we are done. God is particular.
All right.
Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But now let's explain what it means to be particular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, our souls are diseased. And quoting from the lesson, it says, God's thou shalt not are not demands of a tyrant, right? A tyrant is someone who demands you to do what they want, or you will face the penalty, right? So he's not a tyrant. There are eternal warnings that sin is fatal. So God is not trying to punish us for our sins. No, he's trying to keep us from the consequences of sin.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
Okay. The commandments of God are the guardrails around the precipice. The precipice is the edges, right?
Okay.
So if you are playing around the edge, the chances are that you will fall off.
Mm, mm.
So it's not God who's pushing you over the edge. You are playing on the edge.
Hmm.
I hope that makes sense.
Mm, mm, mm. I hear you. So
If a man removes one of these commandments, there is a break in the protection. And he who slips through that broken law faces certain disaster. I don't know if it's any more clear than that.
Mm.
Right? And God, what is his purpose, even for sending Jesus, is to keep us from the consequences of sin. There are times where our sins, while they may be forgiven by God, we may not still be kept from the consequences of them.
Mm.
But here's what God does, which is beautiful. He gives you the power and the strength to endure the consequences of your sin.
Mm. Okay.
There are times where God will heal someone because they had sinned. He heals you and allows you to not suffer the consequences of your sin, because God is not a tyrant. He's not like even the investigative judges. Why people fight so much against, you know, God is judging us right now, is mainly because they think God wants to punish us. No, he doesn't want to punish you. We are suffering the consequences of our sin. We are diseased. We are diseased, and we are suffering from the diseases that we have, that we put on to ourselves. by disobeying God.
Yeah.
So the disease of the human soul is talking about the fact that we are the ones that went outside of the boundaries that he has set. Like a child, if you tell him, please be home at 6 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and 10 o'clock he's back, he's no longer under your protection,
mm-hmm.
right? So if something happens to that child, they were no longer under your protection. They are suffering the consequences of their own sin.
And maybe let's touch a bit on that to say, this fallen nature, this sinful state that we then find ourselves in and after breaking through the barrier that he had put for us, as you put it across, is that the reason why then God became particular? Has he always been particular, or is as a result, a consequence of our being wayward, of having this diseased soul?
I have to try to find a short answer for mm-hmm. that. But the answer is, God has always been particular.
Okay.
There was not a time where God became particular because of something.
Oh, okay.
He's always been particular. Now, let me explain what I mean when I say he has always been particular.
Mm-hmm.
Only God is holy. And that can be a very confusing statement, right? So let me explain what holiness is. Holiness, in simple terms, is moral perfection.
Yeah, moral uprightness, yeah.
Moral uprightness. Only God has absolute moral uprightness.
Okay.
Let me explain that even further. That means even angels do not have moral perfection. Just because they have not sinned does not mean they are morally perfect. By this, I mean this. Right? God cannot sin. Let me explain that again. God cannot sin. It is against who he is to sin. Right?
Yeah.
So then, the boundaries that he has set, right, is that I am life. I cannot sin. This is what life is. That's basically what the Ten Commandments are. It's basically, this is what life is. Right? Step outside of these 10 simple terms of what life is, and you are not alive anymore. You are basically dead. You're basically dead.
Okay.
Right. So God has always, he has always been holy. He has always had those boundaries. Not because they are boundaries. Paul says, we have been set free from sin. So these boundaries are not actually boundaries. They're actually setting us free from being bound from the consequences of our sins. So stepping outside of the law of God is not freedom. You're binding yourself to a tyrant called sin.
Yeah.
So sin is the tyrant. God is not.
So you're saying then that this particularness is actually not a negative thing. It serves as a positive thing for us.
No, his particularness is all about us receiving freedom from the consequences of our sins. Sin is a slave driver. And that's how we need to read Romans chapter 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
Sin is a slave driver, right? He's a tyrant. And when we begin to understand that, look guys, I'll make an example. People talk about being addicted.
Yeah.
Right? Being addicted, that's what sin is. Sin is an addiction, right? We don't want to do it, but we find ourselves doing it anyway. That's what an addiction is, right? So God's purpose is to set us free from the addiction of sin. So sin is being personalized as a tyrant who will have you. No matter what you try to do, he will just have you. He doesn't care. He just has you. And God seeks to set us free from the tyranny,
Of sin. Yeah, that's quite profound. You know, and that's the illusion that's out there, right? That this absence of law, absence of quote-unquote restrictions and boundaries and borders is better because therefore we can do whatever we want. That's freedom. You know, I'm reminded of this little thing, this little clip I saw. Which, you know, when I was a child, I always say, you know what? Yes, when I grow up, I make my own money and I can have ice cream for dinner, you know? And then I grew up and I realized, I can, yes, I've got the money to buy and eat ice cream for dinner every day. But now I know why I can't have ice cream for dinner every day.
Yeah, you know,
you know, so now I it's like, okay, I thought it would be freedom to be able to do that. But actually, no, it's not freedom. Now I have the understanding and the moral reasoning for that. Maybe as we draw to the close then, Blake, talk to us about in all the things that God is particular about. You gave us about how the law is there to guide us and be a boundary and you know, restrict from certain things, just like how you find laws in the world today to say, hey, stop at the red light is because the other cars are coming on the other side, is to protect you. And so God's law protects us from many things. But the one thing he's also very particular about, apparently the lesson says, is the issue of worship. Talk to us a bit about that.
Let me read something.
Okay.
It says here, from the lesson, here is the first illustration of man's attempt to substitute his own form of worship with the divinely appointed worship of God. It is a denial of God. It was made in open disregard for the worship of God and his only holy command for the needy sinner. Now, why did the lesson say that? It first makes an example of the story of Abel and Cain. We all know the story of Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
How that Cain brought from the best of his vegetables and his fruits, right, and offered them to God, while Abel sacrificed a lamb, you know, to God, right? So the lesson then brings about the fact that God needed to see blood, right? They had to offer a lamb. They had to be blood, the shedding of blood, to point to Jesus Christ. When I say this, please, listeners, listen to this. This is so important. Please listen to this. The Old Testament people, right, had no faith in the sacrifices they made. Rather, the sacrifices that they made, the sacrifices of the lambs and bulls and goats, right, was to show they had faith in the promised Son of God who would then be offered for their sins.
Okay, okay.
They had to believe in the coming of Jesus as much as we have to. That's the thing that we are not getting.
Yeah.
You see, the new covenant, according to Hebrews chapter 10, as a substitute to the old covenant, was not made. The new covenant, think of it as marriage, right?
Okay.
Two people get married, right? Two people get married, and the wife cheats on the husband, right? The wife has broken the covenant, right? So now the husband seeks to find a way to renew the covenant. So when he renews the covenant, it is a new covenant. Does that make sense?
Okay, so it's still the same marriage, but a new covenant.
It's still the same marriage. Ah. It's still the same covenant.
Okay, okay.
It's still the same covenant, but it has been renewed. And now things have been put to place to make sure that the wife does not cheat. And if she does, she's able to come back. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So now we are looking at Christ as the sacrifice. And that's why God was like, he had to be so particular about this. It was so important. I want to make the statement. For those of you who study the Bible, guys, there's nothing that's in the Bible that was there by mistake. Everything is there for a reason. Listen to this. The lamb at Passover, right, was sacrificed at exactly 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Right? What time did Jesus die?
At 3.
Exactly at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Passover. Coincidence? No. God was being particular.
Okay. Okay.
I hope that makes sense. So God is very particular about what he requires from us in terms of worship. If he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, 6 days do your labor, and on the seventh day rest on from your work because I made all things, right? No Christian has the prerogative of changing the worship of God from Sunday to from Saturday to Sunday, or saying Jesus is my rest. What an insult to God to say Jesus is your rest. He was very particular about what he wanted. Why are you offering to him what he did not ask for? I do this with my son.
Okay.
Right? I'll send him, please bring me water, right? Bring me water. Then he brings my phone. I'm like, I didn't ask you to bring my phone. I asked you to bring me water.
Yeah.
Right? Not that I don't appreciate that you brought my phone. Yes, I needed my phone. But I did not send him to do that.
Mm.
I sent him to bring me water. I want him to be obedient to me. And that I need my son to understand that, because he then needs to understand how even God wants particular worship, particular obedience.
Mm.
Worship is obedience to God.
So it's not just worship. He must accept it. We are worshiping him after all. It's worship in a particular manner that he accepts.
In a particular manner.
Ah.
Worship is not the raising of hands and say, you are holy. He knows that.
Mm.
Right? Telling him how good he is. That's praise. When you give someone credit for what they've done or who they are, that's praise. Worship is throwing yourself down to someone as a form of obeisance to them, like when you are saying, I'm under your complete authority. Hence obedience. If you do not obey God, you are not worshiping him. That's why the book of Revelation chapter 14 verse 6 says, worship God and give him glory.
Yeah.
Worship him means obey his commandments. Give him credit for everything he has done, because he made the heavens and the earth and the seas and the springs of water. What that means is that the Sabbath commandment is the center of worship.
Mm.
Yes, we worship God every day. We obey God every day. But when we keep the Sabbath day, we are worshiping him as well on the Sabbath.
Amen.
If you worship God every day,
yeah,
it will show by keeping the Sabbath. If you don't keep the Sabbath, you do not worship God, you cannot claim to be a Christian.
If you do not keep the commandments, you cannot claim to be a Christian. What a bold way to wrap it up. Babu Nxumalo, thank you so much for your time this morning. May God bless you. Let's then hear the conclusion of the matter tomorrow. But for today, may God bless you until we chat again.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Elder Derek.
Thank you. That is Blake Nxumalo. They're taking us through this lesson number 20. Is God particular to Anje? It's not just about raising hands. It's about doing it the way he has required you to do it.
Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.